But we'd like to welcome Andy Nolan and Councillor Shafaq Mohammed to the stage. Thank you.
Firstly, I want to thank everybody and welcome to Sheffield. I want to thank Sheffield Campaign Against Climate Change for organising this event. It's great to see that we've actually got a full house and people are actually having to now stand at the bike. And it shows how passionate we are as a city and probably a region in terms of the environment. And we've got a lot to celebrate in Sheffield, you know. We've got a long history in Sheffield about the environment. Actually, our parts of the city are in the Peak District National Park, and it's something that we always shout about and try to badge ourselves as being the greenest city in terms of its environment. But I think also we've got opportunities to make it one of the greenest cities in the UK in terms of its industry. And we've got lots to do. And yes, it is a worrying time at the moment with the economic situation. People are losing jobs. People are fearful. And I take Colin's point about the VAT cut. It's not got me dashing to the shops, and I don't think it got many other people. And I think we have to look at what we do as individuals. You know, Colin talked a lot about international stuff. I'm going to particularly talk about local stuff. Local stuff to Sheffield, local stuff to our own neighbourhoods, and more importantly, locally to us as individuals in terms of what we can do and what the role we play as a city council, but also more importantly as a community. Because that's, like some of you might know, that's where my roots are. We've always been entrenched in community, coming together as a local area where you live and trying to influence first and foremost your own friends and neighbours about changing behaviour. And with, you know, that's where you start. And then you move out further along. And I think the role of the council is to enable. And I know we've highlighted carbon reduction within our corporate plan as being one of the main priorities of the new administration. And shortly we'll be presenting our budget next Friday, actually. So I don't want to steal any of the thunder there and start to disclose some of the details, but clearly there will be information in there about how we intend to work. And some of the issues that Colin referred to about tackling carbon emissions from properties, I have to say that, you know, that it's already started. And I have to be fair, it was started by the previous administration. So when it comes to ideas about tackling climate change, I don't think one particular group of people has got the monopoly. There's lots of ideas right across the political parties in Sheffield, and we have to work together. And I know we do work together. The Sustainable Communities Act and us signing up was a joint venture. Just as it was in Parliament, it's something that we've done here in Sheffield, and I'll touch upon that in a few seconds. But I know that I've been around the city now for the last 12, maybe 10 months actually, since we've been in control. And I've looked at various projects, and some things really excite me. The community renewables projects that I've seen, and I'm no doubt some members are here from there, that is something that I'm really looking into and how they can help and support. And it's going back to what Colin said about how we can make each individual property a house or flat into a mini power station, and how, you know, how we can work with them, how we can give them the capacity to move forward. One thing we will have in our budget this year, linked to the new community assemblies, will be a climate change fund. And that will be up to the local members, so the 12 councillors that sit there working with the local communities, to see how that earmarked piece of funding, the number will be obviously disclosed on Friday, exactly how you go and use it, and it will be up to them. I mean, I'll be seriously, as a member for Broom Hill, be looking at how we can, if potentially look at the community renewables project to see how they can help. Can they help? Is there somebody else out there that can help? I know we've had discussions with other people who've got ideas about making individual properties, power stations. What sort of financing do they need? What sort of model? What sort of assistance that we can provide? And I'll have to be honest, as local authorities, Colin's said it, we are sometimes strapped for cash. We have government targets, but there's some level of flexibility, and we have to look at resources and how do we prioritise. So we will look at that. The other biggie for me is, and I'm trying to see, John LeCorn is at the back there, we had this discussion about the urban growing. How do we deal with it? Well, the first thing we've started to do is actually to look at existing sites, allotment sites, and how we can better use those. Bring forward those plots that have been disused for many years for whatever reasons and make better use of those. We've started that. That work started, you know, it started in discussions at advisory group where, once again, it's cross-party members. It's one of the most visited things I've done. I've been to so many allotment sites and seen the passion that people have to grow on. And the huge waiting list clearly demonstrate there's a need for it in this city. So we need to look at that. But also how we engage with our young people as well. And I know the Eco Schools program that was once again started by the previous administration in the southeast, and one of the councillors here from that area, we are looking to roll that out, and hopefully in this next financial year that'll be right across. And it's about our young people looking at both their school environment, how they can actually have a better, a low carbon school environment, but also one hopes to take it back home. And it's about growing their own food, it's about recycling, it's about energy use. And in terms of energy use, you know, we've started to do some work around smart meters. I know that Nick Parsons has already started doing this work with the East End Quality of Life, and actually the privilege to have them visiting my own property to do a check over me. And the end result was that I've got a smart meter in my property. I know I promised to give it back, but nobody's come for it. So until they do come back for it, and I'm sure they will, that, you know, it's shown us as a family that how we can, if you start turning off the lights, start using different appliances, i.e. the newer television is more efficient, the older one is not so. Maybe we need to switch them around, and maybe we might have to just do away with one of them. And these are sort of things that, you know, we as a family are doing at the moment. And it's the youngsters saying, oh, Dad, that number's moving down. And, you know, we're looking to have those smart meters available, just as York City Council has done, within our libraries, so people can borrow them for a month. Look at how the changes, just as we as a family are going through this process, one hopes they do. And then, if they want to, go and purchase one. Or, hopefully by that time, have been able to change their behaviour. So I know it's small things, but I think those are the important things. It's about individuals. And I know there's many other things that we could talk about, but I think a lot of the ideas will come from community. And that's why I'm proud that we as a council have signed up the Sustainable Communities Act. And we've got something in place in terms of structure. I'm not going to say that this is what we're going to do, because it's not for me to. Because it will be something that the actual members of that panel that we will have, and it'll be made up of around 20 to 25 local people who have drawn from all sections of the community. Obviously, within there, the voluntary sector will be there, offer will be there. Also, the Chamber of Commerce, and just as importantly, the Federation of Small Business, and the leader of the council and the deputy chief exec will be on there. But this group will not just be a static group, because every year a third of the members will then change. We'll have new ideas coming in. And it'll be up to those members. One hopes some people sat in the audience today will either be members currently, will be asked to join, or will become members. And it'll be your ideas being fed in to that group, and then we can go to government. And it might be issues about feed-in tariffs. What can government change in legislation that will assist us at a local level to fit our priorities? And it'll be discussions and debates that take place at conferences like this and meetings that might come from some certain communities. Some communities might say, well, this part of the world that we live in has got particular issues. I know some of my colleagues who represent the north always talk about rural issues. You know, my ward, Broomhill Ward, you might think, well, you know, it's heart of the city, it might not have those issues, but that doesn't mean that those issues that my colleagues in the north are raising aren't important. So it could be that there will only be certain areas of Sheffield that have specific issues that need government changes in legislation, and we'll want to use this. So I'm proud that as a cross-party basis, we've been able to have, you know, adopt the Sustainable Communities Act, just as it was taken through Parliament as cross-party, and I look forward to actually seeing what that brings for us, because I'm excited by it. I'm sure those people that are wanting to join will be, and we'll see how it takes. So I'm now going to hand over to Andy Nolan, but I look forward to playing at least an active part in the workshops until lunchtime, after which, due to other family commitments, I will have to leave. But I once again want to thank the organisers and thank everybody for attending, and one hopes we have a very productive conference. Thank you.
Okay, just by way of introduction, Andy Nolan, I'm Head of Environmental Strategy at the City Council. My primary, I suppose, responsibilities are around carbon reduction and how the city is going to achieve a low carbon economy. And I'm going to take you through a number of different slides, and I've got a short space of time to do that in. But really, hopefully give you both an appreciation of where Sheffield is as a city, and the direction that we need to go in, and the nature of that challenge. Colin spoke this morning about great uncertainty, and I think being brave enough to say that we are uncertain about how we're going to achieve some of these things is no bad thing. What I would say is my challenge, has been really to say we need an evidence base. We need to know what the options are and what the relative benefits and costs are going to be. And the council and the Sheffield First Environment Partnership has done a lot of work in trying to build up that evidence base. The danger, of course, of all of that is that if you say, well, we're going to wait for an evidence base, you kind of go into this paralysis of doing nothing until we know what the answers are. And you never really know what the technologies and behaviours and politics changes all the time. And I think the three things that have come out of the work that we've done so far, the three things that we're going to need to take this agenda forward within the city, are around policy changes, infrastructure changes, and behaviour change. Those three things underpin the challenges that we've got and the way we're going to tackle them. So the triple crunch, as set out in the New Green Deal, the Green New Deal, the issues around that, Shafak's already spoken briefly about the corporate plan, which makes carbon reduction a key corporate priority, not just for the council, but a priority for the city. I'm going to talk to you about the carbon reduction targets that we've got as a city, and I'm also going to talk about perhaps the scale of the challenge and the response that we have to make. Now, I think it's worth saying just at this stage that we've been talking a lot about money. As a currency, money is the most established and most best understood currency. Carbon is the new currency. We are working now in a much more in tune way with carbon, and we are in deficit in Sheffield. Our deficit last year was 3.7 million tonnes of carbon from activities in Sheffield, from transport, from industry and commerce, and from housing. Now, we're working. We are. Jenny mentioned this morning around carbon footprinting. The approach that we're taking, and what I'm referring to here, is end user emissions. This is what we're being measured on as a city by government. What we know now is that the data we have already is for 2005, 2000, and 2006, that even in that period, we were increasing our carbon emissions. Okay, so the challenge isn't just to stop and improve, it's actually to reverse a trend. I very quickly wanted just to give you some sort of sense of how we compare perhaps to other areas. This is a comparison of the eight core cities across the country, outside of London, the eight big cities. And by and large, well, there are a few differences in there. Bristol's relatively smaller in terms of its carbon emissions baseline. We are all much about the same. But when you start to look at this in total CO2 emissions rather than per capita, you can see that the biggest cities are having a disproportionate impact. Sheffield is up there primarily because we still have an industrial base, and we have to challenge, well, is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? And there is a danger that we chase a target which undoes a lot of the bigger picture stuff. And again, we can look at this in a whole range of different ways, per capita emissions over time, over those 2 years of 2005-2006. And I guess the key thing for us is that we've seen in 8 of those 12 areas an increase in carbon emissions in that period. So there is a huge, huge challenge for us. That challenge has been recognised by the council, and following the publication of the carbon reduction of the corporate plan, we're now working on a carbon reduction strategy. And the vision that has been drafted, and I would really appreciate your views on how ambitious this vision is, whether it's the right vision. And I'm happy to share that vision, you know, outside of this meeting, so you don't have to scribble it down now. But we want Sheffield to be renowned as a thriving, low-consumption city, where residents and businesses can and will take positive actions to reduce their own carbon emissions and to become involved in combating climate change in the city and beyond. And that underpins the work that we're doing at the moment to develop that carbon reduction strategy. And it will focus on three key areas: domestic energy consumption and consumption of resources and materials, issues around non-domestic consumption and transport. Underpinning all of that, there really does need to be a very clear communication and engagement strategy. And we will be making commitments and investments in those areas in the next 12, 24 months. And importantly, the local authority is putting climate change and carbon reduction at the heart of everything it does. And you can challenge us on that. That's what we've set out as our ambition. There's been a lot already. Shafak spoke quite rightly about the need for individuals to make decisions, take decisions, change behaviours, change lifestyles. I think the role of the local authority is to help encourage that and to help shape that, to help make it easier for people to do that. And to achieve that, we're going to have to do things differently. We can't continue to do and expect the market to respond in the way that it has in the past. Those are outdated approaches. So we will need to look at some new, I think, transformational approaches. And a lot of what Colin said was resonant with the kind of thinking that's emerging in the town hall around working differently on new developments. People are currently, you know, will buy a contract for gas or electricity supply. What we need to be looking at is buying a service, buying that energy service in, so that we are somehow separating out the growth and the consumption, but also the revenue versus capital argument. The biggest challenge we have as an authority is having that upfront capital to invest in what we know is probably the right thing to do. We can do that, and it has been done. It's happening in London. EDF in London are working with the Mayor's Office and through the Clinton Climate Initiative to look at ways in which we can unlock capital and give that upfront investment to people in their homes and into other infrastructure. And the reduction strategy has some kind of has underpinning values to it, and it's about the council as an authority and as a business, as an organisation, showing some real leadership on this, but recognising we're going to really need some sustained effort. This isn't something we're going to achieve in the term of this current administration. This isn't unlikely something we're going to achieve within the next 5 years. This is something that needs to transcend and continue over the next 20, 30, 40 years and be ingrained into our policies. Importantly, it's about taking people with us, and you know, I wonder how many would have been at this event 5 years ago or 10 years ago. There is now a groundswell, a movement, an encouraging movement to bring people into and to be thinking and talking about these issues, which makes it so much easier for me as an officer to understand the direction that we're going in. And importantly, and our leader, Paul Scriven, has made it very clear that whatever we do on this agenda, it needs to be fun and rewarding. It can feel at times depressing and challenging and perhaps not the exciting things that we want to be doing. We need to turn that round, and we do need to make it fun. And as I've pointed out in the last bullet there, really about using this as a great opportunity to stimulate the economy, not be a brake on the economy. Just to give you a feel for that, we've adopted now in our planning policies, we're the first city in the country to have adopted its new development framework. The planning policies now require new development to achieve a 20% better than the government requirements on carbon reduction. We're the first city, we're the first authority, as far as I'm aware, to have adopted such a policy. So everything that you've seen in the city around renewables and low carbon design has been, with all due respect, in the absence of strong policy, and our planning officers that have achieved it have done a fantastic job. The policies are there now, they're going to be much stronger. You will see much lower carbon and much improved buildings as time goes by. Okay, city targets are ambitious for Sheffield. In the local area agreement, we've signed up to effectively a 10% reduction over the next 3 years, hugely challenging. And particularly in the absence of data, it's going to be very difficult to demonstrate just what we've achieved in the short term. But we have set much longer term targets, which were aligned with the original drafts of the Climate Change Bill. But we are going to see a real need for carbon reduction, both at the individual level and at the organisational level, right across the city. And I just wanted to really touch on where that puts us. This graph, there are a few of these in here, and I do apologise if you can't see them too well. But what this shows us is where we were as a city in Sheffield in 1990, on the left-hand side of the graph, at somewhere like 4.2 million tonnes of CO2 a year as direct emissions. Where we are now is just about here. We've seen over time a relative reduction in carbon emissions across the city for a whole range of reasons. And where we anticipate being in the future and where we've set targets for are in line with our carbon reduction targets of being at somewhere around 30% by 2020. Now, this is the nature of the challenge, and as officers we have this challenge. Everything to the left of this point is disaggregated data from UK trends. It's modelled, okay? Everything to the right of here is modelled future anticipation. The only bit that we actually know is the bit in the middle, and we've got 2 or 3 years of data. So you cannot become paralysed by the lack of data. You have to move on and do what you can with what you've got. What we do know is that if business as usual, and this was work done perhaps before the worst of the economic slump had hit us, business as usual was going to take us in the wrong direction. And the real challenge is to say, okay, how do we reverse that? The real challenge was the aspirations that we have for economic growth were actually going to widen that gap and take us further away from where we needed to be. Now, there's a caveat to that, of course, that the economic master plan and the projections for economic growth were modelled in what I'd call old economics. It didn't assume any other major policy interventions. So all of the things that we've been talking about this morning haven't been factored into the projections there. But what it does mean is if we're going to deliver economic growth of any sort and we're going to increase prosperity, we're going to have to do that in a low carbon way. And some of those things will be stimulated by policies and interventions that the local authority has taken, such as the 20% carbon reduction target. How are we going to achieve that without investment in new technology? So this is our challenge. This would be where we were if this is business as usual with economic growth. We need to get somewhere. This is the challenge that we have. It's a big target. We're going to be looking at, we're going to have to deliver everything that we have at our disposal to achieve this. It's not going to be one silver bullet. Yes, we need to invest in homes. We need to put lots of resources and effort into improving the energy efficiency of homes in the city. And there are millions of pounds going into that through our affordable warmth programme. But we're going to have to do a whole range of other things to get there too. So what we did as a council and working with the Sheffield First Partnership was to just test out what various options there were to help us get to our targets around carbon. And we tested these out, and we've a whole range of different things in here. We've looked at what the impact of a city-wide affordable warmth programme might give us. What if we could get all homes in the city to be the most energy efficient? What would that mean in terms of carbon reduction? Well, we have an estimated value of about 16.5% of our carbon reduction target would come from that. We've looked at the impact of the national introduction to carbon reduction commitment. Difficult to guess what that might really mean, but we've looked at a whole range of other things. What if we can encourage and promote vegetarian and organic diets? What if we can reduce food miles in the city? What if we can stimulate the uptake of improved car engine efficiency? What if we can do what is failing in every city, is to shift the way in which people travel and move away from dependency on the car? What impact might that have? What would high growth in renewable energy mean? And what this told us, and it's a very long and complicated report, was that we could, if we did all of that, we might get somewhere like 75% of our target. We've still got some way to go if we're going to achieve that. And just to give you that kind of pictorially, if we did all of those things and we achieved all of that, we've still got this big slice of the cake to hit us. So we're going to have to do some fairly radical and more radical things. I wanted to touch on the economic benefits because we're seeing these things happening in Sheffield already. Three examples. Danfoss formerly were eco heat pumps in the city, one of the more innovative renewable energy technologies in the city, working and putting their kit into the city using natural energy from the ground. We've got one of the most innovative IT companies in the country, in Very PC, working with the council on our own IT contract to drive down carbon emissions and energy consumption in the IT sector. And we need to build on our opportunities and our legacy of the advanced manufacturing and the manufacturing industries in the city, as we've done at the Advanced Manufacturing Research Centre out at Waverley. And there's great opportunities to link initiatives up. It doesn't just have to be about carbon, but this is the Buy for Sheffield initiative. It's all about bringing businesses together and trading internally. So the points that Colin was making about localization are being heard. There are big commitments already from the City Council, the universities, to use local suppliers and to keep that wealth generation within the city. And to further promote that, we've just recently launched the Sheffield Eco Business Programme. This is designed to help businesses make sense of all of the advice and guidance that's out there, to give them subsidised advice. And interestingly, we're using Sheffield consultancies and expertise to help Sheffield businesses and driving down carbon emissions, waste growth, a whole range of different initiatives. That's sometimes how we feel. That computer says no moment when, as a local authority, we're tasked with doing something that perhaps hasn't been done before. And Colin's example of the bonds is a great one. There are a whole range of issues here which Sheffield as a city, working with the other core cities, has really challenged government with, to say, if you want us to deliver carbon reduction, if you want us to deliver a low carbon economy, if you want us to deliver all of the things that you've promised, you need to give us that freedom and that autonomy. And that's in terms of driving through issues at different levels and scale. I'm particularly interested in carbon emissions at the city level, but there are issues and ways in which we can do that at much, much more local agendas. And we shouldn't and we can't rely on this being what we might call a buoyant economy. the economy isn't buoyant, but we still need to do and provide the things that we need to provide. And what has come home very much in the last couple of years, and something that the core cities have discussed, is this whole issue around infrastructure investment. And the Victorians were responsible for really engineering our cities and providing that infrastructure. It's no longer fit for purpose. The local authorities and the organisations that drove that, now we're faced with crumbling infrastructure. It's not fit for the needs of society today. Even if it's there in terms of scale, it's not there in terms of its ability to deliver. So there are some real challenges around how we unlock investment and put it into the places that we need it. And there are ways of doing it, and I just wanted to kind of close with a few thoughts. I kind of put this image up just because it tickled me, really, that it's incredibly carbon-rich picture, isn't it? Look at the energy that's in that picture. That's one of our more innovative marketing shots for the city. I did do that deliberately, I promise you. But just to kind of put it into perspective, we are looking at ways in which we can promote low emission strategies through the planning process. What are the things that we can do as an authority? Where does it lie? And we're working with other local authorities right across the country on developing much clearer initiatives, guidance and best practice. And the kind of things that we're doing with this are saying to developers, you're coming to the city, okay, but we want something back for that, and we want it back that's going to deliver against carbon reduction. And we're seeing now schemes where, okay, it may be quite small scale and might feel quite tokenistic, but we're demanding renewable energy in new developments. We're demanding investment in things like alternative energy infrastructure. And we're seeing electric charging points, we're seeing wind turbines, we're pushing for anaerobic digestion in the city, a whole range of different initiatives. But it is the council's role, yes, to promote and help people deliver what they're delivering, doing the local things in the communities at a neighbourhood level, but equally taking responsibility for some of those bigger challenges. And I have called it, and I refer to it as the kind of new Victorian era. It's that opportunity to say, this is what the city needs at a city level. How do we get there? And a lot of that is going to be around localising energy generation, localising waste management and waste treatment. It will be looking at the transport infrastructure in the city. And I think the council's up for that. That's the clear message that we want to give back to you, is that we're going to be putting our effort, we've recognised where our effort is best spent, and I don't think our officers' thinking is a million miles away from the kind of things that have already been said this morning. Thank you very much.